I'm Nick Lippa here with Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. So tell me, you've made two records together and your individual careers are highly documented. What do you enjoy about touring besides getting to play with each other?
Bela and I have made two records together. And on this tour, we're going to be sharing a lot of the music from both of them. But I should say, first and foremost, we love doing this touring together because we love the challenge of trying to make a whole show with two banjo players. We think that's a really cool challenge, and we think
we have a singer too, though.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's all right.
She's really good. Yeah.
And so we love the challenge of writing music for two banjos and trying to
paint a complete picture with mm-hmm. just those three elements is really fun because we really have to get creative and figure out how to complete the songs and the ideas that each other have with our. Mm-hmm. What we can do.
Mm-hmm. The other reason we really love touring this music is because we get to be together as a family. And we have a five, almost six-year-old, and we have a little 10-month-old baby. So we are having a really good time getting to be together rather than having to tour separately as musicians. So the challenge musically and then the joy of getting to be together as a family makes it a wonderful thing to be on stage every night together.
And also, I would say that it's really something to be in a relationship with somebody that you love and then also get to play music on stage with them and share that part of life, which is also a very intimate part of being a musician, collaborating, playing music. It's intense and special, and to get to do that with your partner is really something.
Yeah. Can you speak on how you have grown as musicians over the years? And Bela, you've played for a while. How the perception of banjo has changed during that time?
Well, I think both Bela and I come into music as curious souls and not genre-specific musicians. And so I think for both of us, something we share in common is this perpetual search for things that excite us musically, and they don't have to fall within a certain realm or a certain oral tradition. Although we do share a deep love for folk music from bluegrass to old-time Appalachian music and old folk songs.
And folk music from other countries.
Yeah.
We both dig a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a banjo-centric pleasure about this thing, too. I remember when I first came up, David Grisman was, starting his jazz mandolin kind of project. I guess if you don't know about it, that's the best way to describe it. It was kind of gypsy jazz on mandolin. And he would have two mandolins in it. And sometimes he would do things with lots of mandolin. He'd have mandocello and mandola and I always thought we need to do something like that with the banjo, where it was just about the banjos. So in a way, this is also an opportunity for us to do that and do a very sort of banjo-driven group. So we have banjo cellos, we have banjo ukuleles, we have baritone banjos, we have bluegrass banjo, we have old-time banjo, we have gut string banjo, we got fretless banjo, we've got them all with us. And so we've got a pile of instruments around us that we're drawing from as we do the show, so that almost every song has a different setup of different instrument combinations to make that song special and different from the other. So some people that have got a lot of preconceptions about banjo and sort of negative connotations based on sort of a southern white kind of part of its heritage, bluegrass, the sense of a trashiness, or things like this that made people be very insulting to me. When I was a kid playing the banjo, I found it to be very offensive. People would start flapping their arms and going yeehaw. I mean, Deliverance didn't help, but now what I'm seeing, back to your earlier question, is that times have changed and people don't have that same preconception. It used to be that they would not have banjo even in country music because it didn't make the music cool. Now rock bands are putting banjo in their groups to make them cool, and that's a big sea change for me as someone who's been at this for quite a bit longer than Abby, is to see banjo become an object of sort of curiosity and warmth rather than something to look down on.
It really feels like it's evolved. I remember getting into your music in middle school and eventually reading about you in Downbeat, which is a jazz magazine. Additionally, I don't think I could have shown my friends something like Goat Rodeo in the past and piqued their interest.
It has, and now there's sort of a hipness, and people are going, oh, what are these guys doing with these instruments? I had no idea. But to say that about jazz, it's so odd that if you mentioned the banjo to people, they would never think of jazz in the last thing they would think of. And yet, banjo was in the very first jazz groups with Louis Armstrong. That was the cording instrument, not guitar. But that seemed to have been wiped away for a lot of people over the years of the power of bluegrass, kind of wiped everything away in people's, in the general country's perception of the banjo. But, you know, and going back, of course, to the fact that it comes from Africa, you know, that's way beyond most people's thoughts. But now even that is starting to become more common knowledge, and I think that's a great thing.
So what's some of your favorite pieces to play on this tour?
There's this song we do called Take Me to Harlan, which we wrote together off of an idea that Abby had, which was that she wanted to be able to sing and clog dance at the same time. And so she started singing syllables, and she kept singing the word Harlan while she was buck dancing upstairs in her office while I was sitting there trying to figure out what chords went with it. And we ended up with this kind of a really neat, and it's kind of got some funkiness to it, some earthiness to it, and some great dancing. And it's a real song, and it knocks people out. In fact, we first put it on stage, and we realized that we had to end the show with it because there was nothing that could follow it. So it's a great visual, and it's a very catchy tune, and I really enjoy playing that with Abby.
Same here. If it's you and me, this is how
it should be. And Abigail, you performed on Tiny Desk last year, doing that dance, clogging, while singing, while you were over 7 months pregnant.
So I'm going to try to get from here to over there. And just so you know, this is his fault. So.
My question to you is, was that the last time you did that during your pregnancy?
I danced the day we gave birth. In fact, it was one of the ways I got the baby out, because I had to be induced because we didn't have enough amniotic fluid in there once we were at the due date. And so they sent me over to the hospital, and Bela brought his banjo ukulele, and I brought my clogging shoes, and we just sat in the lobby and I danced for about an hour, and that's when the first contraction hit.
That's right. That's absolutely true. I was there.
So, Abigail, when you're not clogging, are there other favorites of yours?
I also really like playing a set of fiddle tunes with Bela, because we get to really dig into, there's three tunes. One is called Sally in the Garden that I learned from a West Virginia banjo player. And then one is called Big Country that Bela wrote. And then the last one is called Molly Put the Kettle On that I learned from a fiddler named Rainy Gellert. And when we get to play together, it's two banjos, three finger and claw hammer. It's like we're both playing in our element completely, but we have to figure out how to line up our two different styles of banjo playing. And it's just been a real journey to get to where we are at this point, trying to figure out who's pulling back, who's pushing forward rhythmically, where our center is, what we want the feel of the song, the tunes to feel like. And I just enjoy it every time we play it very much.
That's an interesting point, because you're adjusting to each of your different styles. Are you learning something new about each other every time you play on stage?
Yeah, well, I would say that when we first started doing that, there was some curiosity among people, including us, whether this could work musically even. And then as we got into it, we went, oh, yeah, this can definitely work. And then we started getting better at it. And then the years started going by to where it just was totally normal to be playing in this two banjo group. But the process of improving it had to do with learning how we felt things differently. And as a bluegrass player, we chase the front of the beat. We are beat hounds, and we are on the front edge, and we like to go over the edge and push, and things get faster and they're aggressive. And in old-time music, it sits in the middle or even is on the back end. Things are very relaxed. not all the time, and it's not always true for bluegrass or old time, but generally speaking, it's more of a grooving kind of vibe in old time music. So for Abby to get used to kind of pushing with me when I wanted it to push, and for me to get used to pulling back, letting it relax and that being positive, was a big learning experience for us.
I know being on tour, you can be very busy, but when you do travel through Buffalo, is there anything you look forward to outside of playing?
Yes, I don't really have like local hangs or anything like that because I just haven't had the freedom to, you know, jump into town or anything like that. But we work intimately with someone named Noelle Panapento, who's from Buffalo, and she's told me that the vintage clothes shopping up there is pretty incredible. So if I ever get the chance, I'm going to definitely go vintage clothes shopping in Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think for me, my experience of Buffalo for many, many years was going to the college where the Flecktones were going to play and being backstage at the college and getting to do my laundry. And I always looked forward to this great industrial washing machine that they had at the college, and I knew I was going to be able to just get in there and do my laundry. And that, you know, a lot of times when you tour, you don't see anything much besides the backstage and the bus. So, but then I got to play with the symphony and do my banjo concerto there. And that was cool because I was there for extra days of rehearsal and I got to experience more Buffalo. Then I came in and we played this place we're playing now, with the banjo tour. And we were downtown at the Hampton Inn, and there was a good coffee shop across the street. I always sort of love the coffee shops. And, you know, that's life on the road.
So moving forward, what plans do you have for the future?
Well, I think we are always very concerned with balance in our lives, and that's because it's hard to balance this kind of life. So, you know, when we're doing too many things apart, we do need to do more stuff together. And when we're doing, you know, only playing together, we need to find things to do apart once in a while. So I think it's all about just finding the balance as we go along. But I don't see why we wouldn't be performing quite a bit, you know,
for
the rest of our lives.
I think we talk about lots of fun ideas. We're getting together with the dance troupe Palabolas this summer to see what we can do as a duo with them. And then we've also thought about doing a larger project with lots of banjos, like a banjo orchestra.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
And I think we'll always be thinking about the fact that we can make another record together as a duo. So that's definitely sitting out there as a potential thing. But I think we both feel a sort of a curve in our musical creation relationship where we're looking to do something a little different in this next project together, whatever we do.
Yeah, I think we've kind of established that the two banjo format can work, and we've done quite a bit with it with these two albums and live. So now we're sort of wondering what kind of fun things we can do with some other people too. But I think the neat thing about folk music is you can have a long career in it and you can continue to be part of these festivals and these concerts and coffee houses and theaters and have a presence in that world for your life. And I think that's something that we want to do together.